So if you turn in the prayer book to the first base sheet, we'll do Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra three times. Taya ta mune mune maha munaye soha taya ta mune mune maha munaye soha taya ta mune mune maha munaye soha. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Sam Chen Tam Che De Wadon De. Turn the page on the bottom of the pink sheet. We'll do Chen Reizig's mantra eight times. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 And Green Tara's mantra seven times. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
Good morning. Let's do some meditation. Okay. So I think the mantra that we recite, Om Mani Padme Hum. So I think long time ago at the center there's like one African American lady. She has two daughters. She's been teaching them how to say Mani Mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum. probably in the late evening, I think late evening. So they both are saying, Om Mani Padme, Om Mani Padme, Om Mani Padme. So then she's doing some work, so then she listens very carefully. So they are not really saying, Om Mani Padme Hum, they are saying, Oh, Mommy, take me home. Okay. So, I just remember that, Oh, Mommy, take me home. I think that's a good mantra. So anyway, so the true things that is important to know as how you say. I think last couple of weeks I've been talking about in the Wednesday night class with this book called, we've been studying the book called Lamrim, you know, Stages of Path. So that book, so from Buddhist point of view, like according to Lamrim, it seems like, so when you're studying Lamrim, it seems like that first we have to learn how to help ourselves, right? How to help ourselves. So that's not easy, no, it's not easy task, not easy task. It's quite, you know, so I was, you know, sharing this from the Lamrim point of view, what it means helping yourself. It says, if you cannot help yourself, there's no way you can help other people. So, then they're probably going pretty well with the saying that walk the talk. Walk the talk. Walk the talk. Walk the walk. Walk the walk. Okay, so whatever it is. So, what do you call it? I think the meaning that if there's like, am I correct? That saying is saying, so if you cannot help yourself, you can help other people. Is that right? Yeah. So, so that's why in Buddhism, you know, it's like the practice, you know, individual practice becomes so important, you know, so that, I say, that's why this is called teaching mudra, you know, teaching mudras. So whenever you see, you know, this is like, this is supposed to be will, the tuning the will of Dhamma, there's no first will, second will, third will. It not only just go out, you know, it comes also back. So that clearly indicates whatever you are saying, you are supposed to practice. So in my case, that's not true. Some of them are true, you know, like, but anyway, so that's what it indicates. You know, whatever goes out, it not just goes out like this, you know, this comes in. So that means, you know, so that needs to think, you know, about individual practice. So anyway, so now, so I found this kind of, you know, so usually we say renunciation, bodhicitta, wisdom, realize, emptiness. That sounds very much like technical. But when you look very deep into that message, it's clearly saying that, you know, you have to understand how to help yourself. In order to do that, you have to understand sufferings. If you don't understand suffering, you know, then how you can generate the desire to liberate yourself. Liberate from what? There's nothing to liberate. So that's why Buddha taught, you know, Four Noble Truths. You know, first truth is truth of sufferings. That's the reason not Buddha wants to depress you. And he's trying to educate us, you know, it's very important to understand, you know, suffering, to make sure, you know, that we have clear understanding of, you know, sufferings. So then, you know, I thought that's really like a skillful way to help other sentient beings, you know. So from the Lamrim point of view, so helping yourself, first you have to help yourself. So what His Holiness said, we learn our lessons from the past mistake, we learn, and we forgive ourselves. So, if you don't forgive yourself, so then from Lamrim point of view, or thinking of renunciation, that's not really, you know, you are not really helping yourself, you know. Past mistakes, we learn lessons, you know, whether it's your mistake or someone else's mistake, we learn the lessons. And we forgive. We forgive yourself. If it's your mistake, you forgive yourself. Then if it's other person's mistake, you forgive themselves. So then, because this is very, very important, I think, from my point of view, it's very, very important, you know, in these countries, especially in the Western world, being here last 15 years, then, you know, slowly experiencing cultures like that. So, looking back in the mistake that we make, if you tell yourself, I'm bad person. This clearly indicates, you know, it's not forgiving yourself. That means it's not helping yourself. So, it's so important in the Buddhism, it says, you know, I repeat this not because I don't believe that you don't understand. I think you totally understand. But it's not that, that's not good enough, you know, so we are smart. We could learn. Just reading one piece of paragraph, we understand what it says. But it has to go here. You know, from here to here, it has to go here. So that requires meditations. You know, you think again and again, not just one time, you know, you think. So, from learning point of view, is how it begins, helping yourself. So, you know, from Western point of view, you may have some different approach, or maybe like therapy or like psychologist point of view, maybe like medical point of view, there's so many different approach helping yourself. But what I want to share with you, you know, in those fields, I have no education, no knowledge. So what I can hear from Lamrim point of view, you know, thinking, not the reading that read, you know, read the has educated on that particular books, you know, many, many years. So, helping, like when you look at the Lamrim point of view, it's like how to help yourself. There's a way to help yourself. How, what you do in the early morning, and you just meditate on precious human life. Okay, precious human life. That's very important. I'm not just saying that just try to make you happy. That's not true. Because it's already been said. It's in Lamrim case, it's been said 650 years ago. The Lamrim taught, Lama Tsongkhapa, Tibetan master taught 650 years ago. What they Lama Tsongkhapa was telling, not just me, to each of us, all the human beings. So now the question arises in your mind, no? How you become human? How? Do you ever ask this question, how you become human? How come you didn't become dog? How come you didn't become sheep? How come you, in this life you become human? Is this big deal? Or is it just accident? Or is it just nothing? It can't be nothing. From Lamrim point of view, that's the approach how to help yourself begin like that, you know. So you have to think, wow, you know, being just human, this is something really big deal. It's not just, you know, how you say, boring. This is very important. What we call precious human life. So there's something that I'm not repeating this here, that I'm believing that you don't understand. I believe you understand that, but that's not good enough. It has to go here. So we have to understand from here rather than just here. That's very important. That's how helping yourself begin from the Lamrim point of view. You think about precious human life. So there's something, you know, as a Lamrim, how you say, student of Lamrim books, that's what you're supposed to do every day. When you wake up in the morning, what do you think? You don't think about, you know, or to find something to complain. Oh, today weather's not, always not, okay, I wish the weather would be sunny, now it's raining. There's nothing much you can do. It's raining, so there's nothing much you can do. If you get upset, that's not very skillful, where to get upset about something. that you cannot change. So what you do, no matter what kind of circumstances, it's a sunny, beautiful, sun shining day, or it's like a beautiful raining day, so whatever you call it. So you wake up with this awareness, you know, that just, you know, actually like trying to find something that you can be grateful. In this Lamrim case, it's precious human life. You just, you know, you could gain so much just out of that. But, you know, I am not getting exactly the way Milagre was getting out of that, because I don't think that seriously about precious human life. I just think sometimes once a while, you know. So, when the weather's nice, stomach's full, so then I think about precious human life. So that's not how you make progress, you know. So from here to, it has to go there, you know, so from heart. So then, from here, so then next time, when you think about precious human life, it means something deep, rather than just mere word. So that requires, you know, meditation. So it's very, very important to think good of yourself, according to Lama Tsongkhapa. So the question that needs to be asked, how you become human? That's a very important question, how you become human. You know, and how you become to be in this country. You don't have to worry that somebody's going to bomb on your roof. You don't have to worry about, you know, that you don't get education simply you are a woman. There are so many freedoms. How come all this opportunity, how you say, happens? That's how you question in Buddhism, you know. It's not, this is so much energy is put, so much energy, positive energy is put in that, you know, invested in that. So my point here, you know, all my friends, you know, including myself, so what we need to do, when we wake up, we need to think about precious human life. Okay? So that's the reason, because that's how, from Lamrim point of view, that's how the, how you say, helping yourself begin. That's what it means, helping yourself. First, you have to think something good about yourself. So, so precious, so meaningful. When you say, my life has no meaning, it's not true. I've been saying this again and again because I'm hoping that it will sink into our heart, not just here. I'm not worried that it's not here, it's all here. There's too much here. There's too little here. So then meditation becomes important. So meditation becomes important. Meditation means, you know, becoming familiar with something. Say in this case, precious human life. That's how you begin. It's very simple. That's how you begin, you know, you just think about, you know. So precious, it says, Tanjor, so precious, Tenchen, so meaningful, Nyeka, very difficult to find, believe or not, very difficult to find. If you have answer how you become human, if you get the correct answer for that questions, and you know, so precious, so meaningful, so difficult to find, you will find out that. If you get correct answers for these questions, how I become human. Oh. So then, you know, then this so precious, so meaningful, so difficult to find. You know, so then you will understand that. Okay. So then, you know, saying, telling yourself, you know, it's not that life has no meaning, or not good, bad. This all not true. It's all not true. Oh. So they're totally going into wrong directions. Oh. So that's not how you help yourself. It's not like, that's not helping yourself. It's like, it's not helping yourself. Not just that, you can't help other people, no. It's not helping yourself. It's not helping at all. It's not helping at all. So, forgiveness, no, to forgive yourself, but past mistake doesn't make you incapable to improve yourself. Every moment, you are incapable, you are fully capable to improve or to create next moment of your happiness. So that's why it's so, you know, precious. You know, it's so precious. Okay. So now meditations. So now see, that's how it, you know, helping yourself begin with that from Lamrim. you have to think good about yourself. If you cannot think good about yourself, according to Lam Rim, you are supposed to not just think good, but you have to think, oh, this is, I'm so precious. No, so precious. No, that's where you need to, we need to get. You have to think, you know, I can't believe it's not precious. I can't believe it's not butter. Because it tastes exactly like butter. See? So that's exactly, so I transformed that. So one day you will say, I can't believe it's not precious. It is precious, but in the region that you never test, you never understood. But the thing that comes the round, how is it, plastic, huh? Yeah, so you test, because it tastes exactly like butter. So then it says, I can't believe it's not butter. So, so then you get to that point, you know, I can't believe it, it's not precious. You know, how come I can't see that? You know, long, long time ago, I'm just, you know, like looking down on myself, you know, like, and this is all, you know, that's not how, that's so now the point is here, when I say helping yourself, then that's what it means. From Lam Rim point of view, that's how you help. First initial thought, you have to feel good about yourself. Because, not because of your hair or clothes that you wear, the jewelry that you wear, not because of that. Simply because every moment you are fully capable to say something nice, think something positive, do something positive. That's creating, you know, next moment of happiness, you know. So that's why it's so precious, okay? So then everybody, you know, the human, that's why he's only saying, physically, mentally, we are same, no difference. Very true, according to Lam Rim. So now see, that's how you help yourself. So it's like very deep. It's helping you from the root. You know, it's not like going to Whole Foods, then, you know, giving yourself one piece of chocolate chip cookies. That's not that, but... But that's not the best way to help yourself. The best way to help yourself is, you know, think something from deep. You know? So that applies to me, to you, all of us. You know, that's what we do when we wake up. We try, you know, try to think, you know, the precious human life. Okay. So, so then according to that, you know, then, you know, telling yourself I'm a bad person, that's not true. It's not true. So why you repeat something that's, you know, not true, and that leads you to the total to wrong directions. So no benefit. So, you know, so like when you see the dirty dish in your sink, do you call yourself you are bad because you make some dish dirty? Do we call ourselves that you are bad? Huh? No, when you, yeah, so we like to use clean dish, nothing wrong. No, that we have every right to use clean dish. Nobody says, no, that's bad that you are using new dish, clean dish. Nobody says that. So then when you use the new dish, no, so then the clean dish, if you have only one clean dish, you use that. So you want to use again, what you need to do, you need to clean. Right? And that, then, like, say, the point is here, so, like, when it comes down on external, how you say, it's almost like, you know, mistake is like, it's not clean, it's, you know, something that's the same as, like, dirty. This is like dirt. No? So then, when it comes down on yourself, then you feel like you are telling yourself you are bad because, you know, the wrong deed. Do we call ourselves that you are bad because the dish is dirty? Huh? Like, then that's why was that? Because we know that that can be clean. Same. The mistake can be fixed. Can be fixed. You know, from the Buddhist point of view, it can be purified. So you don't tie yourself with that, you know, negative actions that you've been created. Yeah. say, nobody's perfect. So then realizing that you are also nobody, you are also one of nobody, that's important to recognize that you are also one of nobody. So you know, there's no, and from Buddhist point of view, because very existence is called imperfect. There's existence because there's all up and down, you know, there's get angry, get jealous, not happy, not, this is why it's called imperfect existence, what we call samsara. That's what it is. So you can accept, you can expect everything to be perfect. Because then once you realize, oh, this is part of the samsara, you can have different expectations that, you know, I can be perfect in every field. That's too much to expect. Unless you are enlightened, also you are liberated. So then there's reduced expectation, expecting from your friend to be perfect. No, there's nobody can be perfect. Only from the Buddhist point, the only way you can be perfect is enlightened. That's no, not that easy to get enlightened. I think, do you believe? So anyway, so that, you know, just, this is, you know, a big puzzle. You know, life is like a big puzzle. You have to understand how to put it together slowly, slowly, you know. So then you'll see this beautiful house with, you know, flowers and the pond, you know. It's all there, but you can't see because it's all mixed. The slowly you put, that's how you feel good about yourself, you know, like day and night. And that's how you, you know, get better and better, 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 like that, okay? Some more pieces. So once you recognize, oh, part of the samsara, then there's so much fear that you overcome of, you know, so much stress, fear to being perfect. You know, that will be overcome because, you know, very existence called samsara. Oh. So, anyway, so, probably we'll meditate now. I'm going to stop talking. So that, my point is, you know, meditation, why you meditate is meditation is helping yourself. So now, meditate, make sure that, you know, we do productive meditation because helping yourself from the learning point of view, you know, is, you know, there are certain things that we need to keep in our mind, certain things that we have to educate ourselves, not just brain, our heart, and thinking on a daily basis. So, so then it makes sense. There's a, the power of meditation is to reduce negative mind, such as thinking, I am bad. There's a negative mind. There's no positive mind. You know, thinking my life has no meaning. That's negative mind. Negative mind doesn't have to be like anger or jealousy or attachments. Negative mind, looking down yourself, that's negative mind. So now, this says, you know, power of reading spiritual books, spiritual texts or books, spiritual books, the books that talks about, you know, spiritualities. The power of reading that is to have more calm mind. Calm mind. More you read, more you become calm, it is working. It is working. The power of meditation is to have less negative mind. Gom top nyumo chunga. Gom, meditation, top power, nyumong, this afflicts mind. No, saying that I'm not a good person, I'm bad. I cannot change. You know, I'm too lazy. My life has no meaning. I'm this, I'm that, you know. Wearing all these layers of, you know, labels. Like, this is all afflicted mind. This is all delusion. This is all delusions. You know, it's all, as you can also say, inner pollutions. You know, you can't breathe because there's so much pollution inside. You can't breathe. No, you can't breathe easily. So this is all, you know, pollution, delusion, afflictions, afflicted mind. There are so many different names. The point is, you know, there's bottomless negative mind. So then when you meditate, then you have, there's less and less of this mind. So there's gomtop nyumuchuma, means lesser afflicted mind. That's the power of meditations. So now you see, you have to have something to meditate on. So what do? You think of a precious human life. So why I become human? So then you go through that. If you don't know how to do the meditation on the precious human life. Like, if you don't know how to meditate on while your life is precious, then you read Lamrim, the beginning of the sections, Lamrim, Lama Tsongkhapa explains, you know. That's like 650 years ago. Explanation may be no relevant to our 21st century. Nobody knows, you can, how you say, but based on that, but you can think, see, Steve Jobs, I think give talk in some university there, talk, in divided talk into three categories, first, second, third. Third one is all about, you know, where they say the point comes down on the precious human life, but he didn't call what precious human life, that's what he's explaining based on his physical problems and how he, you know. So I think if you read that, it's kind of interesting, you know. Businessmen talking about something like that, that's quite interesting. And I find out that's quite, you know, like, it's not surprising when you look at the Lamrim, but, you know, it's been there like more than 650 years ago. But, you know, thinking somebody who's like, who has very scientific mind and very successful businessman, and thinking about, you know, something, that piece of information in the Lamrim, that's quite, you know, interesting. Oh, yeah, so, are you getting warm? Hot? No? Okay, are you comfortable? Yeah. Then, you know, each topic has, you know, like, a lot of benefit. You know, thinking about precious human life, you could overcome from so many negative minds just in relation to yourself. Then thinking about impermanence, you know, there are so many obstacles you could overcome. So, okay. So now, so meditation that today I'm going to do is like, think. The mind is like, you know, think, okay, that as, it will help when you about to meditate, think that I'm about to, you know, as the mind is considered as an elephant, because it's, you know, so elephant physically so powerful. The mind is really powerful. You won't believe how much the mind can do, you know. So like, physically it's very limited. The mind, there's no limit. So powerful. So that's our mind. So then mindfulness is like rope. So then that elephant is on the move all the time. Each lambo draws. He, so mind, lambo is elephant. Draw means move. It's on the move all the time. See, it's quite amazing. Minute we wake up, we think. So when you meditate, then you are thinking that, you know, whether you meditate or not meditate, mind is still keep thinking. If you meditate, then you are letting your mind to think something positive. That's good. You know, more positive thinking is necessary in order to have happier life. You know? The less negative mind, you know, that's much better, much better. It's not because, it's not a question of becoming a religious person. It's simply that you have mind. That's all. So each langbo drawalas. There's the elephant-like mind is on the move all the time. Mibe kawa tembulas. What do you need? You need this strong pillar. Pillar? Strong. Not just, you know, really has to be really strong. Like strong, very, very strong. Okay. Like mikpa. Mikpa is object. Object is considered as a pillar. Okay. No strong pillar. Mikpa kawa. Kawa is pillar. Tempo means strong. Very strong. So in this case, we are going to use, you know, in this case, we are going to use some color. Okay, some color. Mibe kawa tembola. Mibe kawa tembola. Temba means mindfulness. It's like papa, is rope. Tembe tapa nyechini. So then you tie that elephant. There's a mindfulness like rope then you tie the elephant on that pillar. No, make sure elephant doesn't get moved out of that pillar. So that's according to ancient teachings, no, in this case, Buddhism. Only way that you can produce peaceful mind that we have to concentrate. Without concentration, no, so far, my understanding of Lamrim goes, but there's no way, there's only way that you can create, you know, calm mind, peaceful mind is to concentrate. Maybe kawat tembula, chinde pape ngi chini, so then, you know, to bind. So bind means, you know, so to bind the elephant to that pillar. So, share up. It's like wisdom. Wisdom is not share up, it's share up. So, people used to get confused because of the way I pronounce the word. Share up. So that's wisdom. So elephant trainer, the person who train elephants, they're a piece of metal. The tip of the metal is kind of bent, sharp. So they ride elephants. So if they want elephant to go this way, they just poke here. This is on the poke here. That's how they overpower. How is it overpower? That's how they overpower elephants. So exactly here, we need to overpower the elephant because that elephant is overpowering us too much. So that's, you know, we came to very little. So now we are trying to overpower the elephants. So this wisdom is like that piece of metal. So then, you know, it's kind of like, none of this kind of, it helps, you know. So if you can just say verbally, first of all, saying verbally, I'm sitting here, I'm going to tie this elephant on this hitching post, the pillar, very steady, you know, like that, it helps. You know, any visualizations, if you say in a word, oh, space before me, there's something, and top on that, there's something, then light emitted. If you say verbally, it helps your visualization. Then eventually, you don't need to say, you just sit there, you can just see. You know, so the beginning is difficult, you have to say, there's something, then top on that, there's something, then there's, you know, there's all the activity happening here, there, between you and that person, that the object, you know, that that's all this, how the visualization has been done in the daily yoga practice. So now, you know, job is to walk, you know, to tie the elephant on this hitching post. So I said that same thing. I said this many times, not because I believe that you don't understand, but it has to go here. So the purpose is to reduce negative thought. That's the whole purpose. That's the only purpose of meditation, is to reduce negative thought. That's the way to create, that's the way to make your mind calm and peaceful. If there's so much negative, you can calm. If you can say, calm down, take deep breath, you can say that, but you know, the person who's doing it in this whole negative is not, you know, that easy to do. So here, the meditation that I'm going to lead today is like, this is called forceful method, how to control obsessive mind, you know, become obsessive with something. Or you can say, believe or not, obsessive mind in Buddhism, it sounds like, it may call gopa. That's what it's called, obsessive mind is called gopa. Most of the time, or you can say pretty much all of them, is related to attachment, some form of attachment, not able to let it go. Or whether you're thinking about something, you know, somebody, about something negative, there's like, aversion or attachment. There's like obsessive mind is, you know, because it's so difficult to, how to say, bring it back, because it's like dropping like putting one drop of oil on a piece of paper. If you don't clean right away, it will slowly expand. That's like That's why it's so difficult, you know, how to detach. So what we do, so we breathe, we exhale, okay? You can exhale, that doesn't matter, probably doesn't matter. You can exhale from the mouth, inhale from the nose, or you can inhale, you can also inhale just from the nose, exhale just from the nose, inhale just from the nose. That's also fine, one way to do. Or you can exhale from the mouth and inhale from the nose. Each time when we inhale, we count one. Okay? Clear? Exhale, it can be done through mouth or it can be done through nose. Each time when you inhale, you count one. Then we'll count that. So then in the end, so say, if you decide, we'll count seven, okay? Number doesn't matter. You can count 20, doesn't matter, 7, 8. So in the end, then you just, you know, imagine, you know, that the as the oxygen or the breath that goes in, just imagine it's going down. Then, like when you feel it reach 4 finger below, okay, there, then just hold there. It's like white color, white round. So there, where the focus should be. This meditation has been taught many, many years ago, 1,000 years ago. I'm just here repeating you. So there's, I can change. So, no, but you can make progress during this same meditation. No? Exhale, inhale, then in the end, we'll count 7 and just visualize that the breath that goes in, it's like white round. It goes. When it reaches 4 finger below your navel, then you hold there. Inhale, then we are not breathing. We are not breathing. Okay, 7 times. Exhale, inhale, and when we inhale the 7 times, we are not breathing, holding our breath. Then thinking, white. Goes 4 finger below, and we stop there and focus. All the attention should be there. Okay? So, we'll begin. What do you think? Will this help? So now that's the first part of the meditation. The second part, so when you feel it reach 4 finger below your navel, the white color, then simultaneously you close the lower jaw, okay? So then energy that comes up is yellow. So then that completes the meditation, okay? I want you to learn complete form of meditations. So I did the first part, white. So then immediately, when you feel that you reach, you know, the white light around, when you reach four finger below your navel, then immediately, simultaneously, close the lower door, the energy that comes up is, you know, yellow. Then it is like this. Okay? It's clear? Yeah. So we have, yeah, we need to keep trying. So, any other suggestions, any other method that helps the gentleman, helps to visualize? Yeah, please, give some contributions. Huh?
Sometimes I've heard suggesting that.
Any contribution, if you are doing this meditation, any contributions, that's good.
So sometimes I've heard the suggestion that if I can't see it to begin with because I have trouble with visualizations, to get the feeling of a white light, the feeling of the energy, to kind of start there, and then maybe the visualization will come a little.
Does it help?
It's starting to help for me.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had to start with just the feeling of something.
So no, the visualization is a problem. It's not, you know, like, it's, what they say, you know, come abiding, that's highest level of concentration, you know, come abiding. Till you reach like 8 or 7 or somewhere there, the visualization is going to be, you know, so like, it's kind of tricky, so that there are obstacles, you know. So when you say, okay, you are going to close your eyes, now you are going to think about something red, then mind wants to think something yellow. Huh? So that's no, it says no. When you tell yourself, oh, think something yellow, then mind will think something red. But what our job is, no matter if I'm seeing yellow or not, I just hold on to that idea. No? So I don't get distracted. Okay, I'm seeing red, so then you think about red, it's not like, then it's being obstacle. So visualization, some people told me that, for them visualizing is very easy, so they can just imagine, imagine. So anyway, that's a mind will trick. It's because, this is going to be difficult. It's not just for you, for all of us, because, we are trying to make familiar with something that we are not familiar. It takes time, But then slowly, I think slowly, probably, it will get better. So first, just idea, So I use this, like, the blood pressure machines, they use, not the modern one, the old one. Then you see that something goes down. I'm just usually thinking like that, My, like, breath is like that. When I'm doing like, then when I sit, then I'm thinking, there's like machines that, the blood, the drops goes down. Then at the beginning, it's just feeling. It's not really, clear image of that energies. Just feeling. Then when you feel, it reaches four finger below, just hold. So we should not give up, my friend. You should not give up because it's too difficult. Then that's not really easy way to do, unfortunately. So so this is the forceful method how to control obsessive mind.
To light a candle on your altar before and kind of get the idea of what it might look like, that brightness, and then go into doing your breathing.
That's also good. Something like maybe something like shining, that's also fine. So I think visualization is going to be a challenge. It's not going to be, like piece of cake. If somebody says piece of cake, that's not true. It's going to be a challenge, it says it's going to be a challenge. So unless we really develop strong concentrations, even just like looking just here, even something visual, looking at the Scott, so just close my eye, I can see roughly a little bit, things can't just face away. Even just something, the bird we cannot see. Something here, and you can see, that's exactly what you do. You put something here, you watch, you look, and look, that's the one way to build concentrations. In Buddhist case, we put Buddha's image here, no, Buddha's statue. Then you look, nice looking, beautiful looking, you look. Then you close your eye, and you're trying to see from mental eye, you know, you're trying to see. In the beginning, you kind of see something, then slowly you just see the shape, and you know, and you, the bottom line, you know, if you are losing, okay, so in the beginning you see very, that, probably, like that. See, but just hold on, even you're just seeing the, how is it, blueprint, you just, outline, you just hold there. If you're just seeing one eye, you have to hold. So make sure that the elephant doesn't get out of there. That's important, than seeing very clearly, you know. So then if you see some hold, then you hold, you have to hold, so make sure the mind doesn't get out of that. If mind gets out of that, then it's, you know, elephant is loose. It's all run away. You know, so then you have to bring it back. So that's why, you know, it's not just once or twice, you know. We have to train, you know, so meditation, this is not something that needs to be done again, you know. 5 minutes, 10 minutes here. It's not like once a while, then it's going to be difficult.
I have a hard time with visualization, too.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I don't visualize. I'm seeing stuff all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Seeing pictures and stuff. But it's just to concentrate on one,
mm-hmm.
one image. Well, it's difficult. I think you're right. The mind wants to go. You think yellow, then I'm going to do see yellow, then the mind wants to see something else.
Yeah.
But one of the things that really helped, and what you said about not quitting is very important. One of the things that really helped me when I was first introduced to meditation here was, I think it was during discovering Buddhism, and Robbie said that the meditation is in the practice. Like when we're trying to focus on the breath and the mind wanders away, you bring the mind back. Patiently, you keep doing this. If it wanders 1,000 times, you bring it back 1,000 times. And he said, that is the meditation.
Yeah, it is a part of meditation.
That's right, yeah. So that really helped me to not quit, right? Because usually if we find that we can't get it, we stop doing it, right? But when I realized that this is the practice. You know, it is practice, right? And so this is the practice. And so practice for me is trying to get this visualization because I have a hard time with that. You know, and so I keep trying each time, and I do get I see the outline, or I'll see an ear, or I'll see this, or I'll see that, and it doesn't last very long, but at least I got it this time, whereas before I didn't get it before, so I do see improvement, and so I think the more we keep doing, if we don't quit, if we just keep trying, it gets better and better and easier and easier.
Yeah, so I think that's best we can do. We don't give up, you know, never give up, please. His Holiness said, never give up this good cause. You know, so we have to concentrate, you know. So we should not let this elephant all over the place. It's not good. It hurt you. It will hurt other people, you know. So we keep trying. So how's about if you just say a word, something, that's what the beginner says, you know, just saying, space before me, that's a beautiful throne. That's just an example. I'm not suggesting you to do that. But here, the meditation, if you just said the word, you know, space before me, this beautiful throne, like made of a precious jewel, beautiful looking, like you just can't get enough just looking at that, like beautiful, and then talk about that, you know, then it's like, then you are building the whole thing. You know, if you, in the beginning, if you say the word, it helps, you know, you to, your mind to, one way to direct your mind is just say the word, you know. So then, maybe in this case, the same thing, but you know, like, oh, now the energy, the white energy, bright, is going down, like, you know, so then, there. So, this is forceful method how to control obsessive minds. It will work, you know, so we need to put some patience, like, say, when you talk about patience, you know, when you talk about patience, this is one way to describe the patience. I say, able to tolerate the something, you know, that's like being impatient, right? Being impatient, then not seeing visualization, impatience. So that is also, you know, some form of negative mind. The very purpose of meditation is to reduce. So, you know, you have to be gentle to yourself, you know, you have to know, You have to encourage, you know, so it's okay, you know, it's the beginning, it's okay. You know, never give up, you come back, you know, think again. And slow, slow. It really worked because the reason, you know, so I teach this 21 breathing meditations just to count. Some people say, Gila, I couldn't count. I couldn't count even three. How come I can count 21? They say, I can't believe. How come you cannot count 21? For me, it's not that difficult, you know, the count, you know, just exhale, inhale, that's one. Exhale, inhale, that's two. Just count. This is this. I cannot count even three. It's hard to believe. So then, you know, slow, slow, so now that person can count 21, no problem. So then there's progress, you know. This, and, okay. So we'll do one more meditation, then we'll stop. One more, same. So now the full visualizations. Exhale, you could exhale from the mouth or from the nose, okay? So then inhale needs to be done from the nose. So each time when you inhale, you count 1, 2, 3, 4. We'll do 7. And when the last, please don't breathe. You hold your breath. As long as you hold your breath, then imagine, visualize. Can be visualizations, if that's best, or can be feeling. Just feel. Reach 4 finger below your navel. Then immediately simultaneously close the lower door, the energy brings up. If you are having problem with that, just do the one, first one. Just do the first one. First one. When you become good at the first one, then you can do the second one. Okay, complete, okay? We'll do the one more time. Yeah. Okay, we'll stop. So maybe like what we can do, maybe if some are here very good in the computer, we can create this article. Computer, you can sometimes people can create something. Just people can see what you call the emanation. Emanation.
Animation.
Yeah. Like that. So create something like that, you know, so then you can see. You know, so the true, like, image you can see. So maybe that's a good idea, you know, probably should create if somebody's very good at that, if it doesn't take a lot of time. So create, so then we can show here, you know, so then you can see that, you know. People can, like, create, right? Can create, then you can see the white light goes, you know, then you can have some visual image. That will probably help, I think. So, so probably it's a good idea to maybe create something that, you know, people can see. I mean, this is important, you know, so like it will definitely help, you know, like how to, this is like how to control obsessive mind, okay? So, Cindy, you want to say something?
I'll wait just a few minutes until after.
Yeah, so, yeah, you can say it now, so that's probably done. Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. I think most of you know me. I'm Sandy Carlson. I'm the membership coordinator here. And I wanted to talk a little bit about what a special day today is. Today is International Sangha Day. And the best way I can do this is to relate it to you like in Mother's Day and Father's Day and all of those traditional holidays that we have here in our culture. Today is International Sangha Day, and this is the day that we take some time, you know, set aside a little bit of special time to just appreciate our Sangha that we have here. We are so fortunate, and I really don't think that we understand just how special and fortunate that we are that we have Geshe-la, Geshe Sangpo, Chukyi-la, Ani-la. You know, there are many centers that don't have any Sangha at all. So the fact that we have them here, they give us these special teachings. They help us with so many things. Just personally for me, I get so much from them. So today is the day that we're going to thank our Sangha especially. Keep it in your hearts all day today. If you would like to get up, offer katas, this would be a good time. You'll have the opportunity afterwards as well. Just to say a special thank you. And again, just kind of like Mother's Day as a mom, that's a special day. But every day we should try to remember this. Every day we should try to have this special feeling for our Sangha that just give us so very, very much. So if anybody has a kata or a special offering or wants to say something, you know, we don't get the opportunity to actually tell them as a group, you know, thank you so very much for everything that you do, for me, for all of us, for the center. You make such an impact in our lives, and I just can't thank you enough from the bottom of my heart. I think we should work on trying to appreciate you a little bit more every day and not just today. But so if anybody has a kata, this would be the time. And thank you so much.
So then we are supposed to say something about how we become monks and nuns?
That would be awesome if you would.
So maybe there's no... The problem, Jisambo is here. He don't want to repeat this two times. So maybe like, say like, so this like International Sangha Day is like, that's like part of the FMT?
FPMT, yes. Part of the FPMT, which is the foundation for the preservation of the Mahayana tradition.
That needs to be clear because it's not something that we do at the monastery. Monastery, we don't have International Sangha Day. I'm not sure like the goals or the idea behind that.
I think this is the FPMT, as many of you know, and Robbie, you can probably speak to this much better than I can if you want to come on up here. The FPMT is the organization that has centers all over the world. It's who we are allied with. We don't get any funding from them, but they help us to organize the teachings. They're the ones that helped us to bring Geshe-la here. And again, I think I'm going to turn this over to Robbie. He's so much more eloquent than I am, that he can explain this a little bit better.
I think you did a very good job. I just wanted to clarify because some people may not understand the relationship between the Western Sangha and the FPMT. The Sangha members are not employed by the FPMT, our parent organization. They don't support them. They don't give them health insurance or retirement or living expenses. It's entirely up to the Sangha members to support themselves. And those of us who benefit from their presence so immensely, it creates incredible merit if we can support them financially or with help or any way that we can. So this is just a good day to think about how we can support all our Sangha members, the Western Sangha members, and then our traditional Asian Sangha members also, because it's a good thing to do for them, and it creates incredible merit to support them and also helps to create the cause maybe to be a rogue Sangha member in your next lifetime.
So I want to say something, okay? Because FMT organization, there's like 169 centers all over the world, Asia, Europe, everywhere. And within that organizations, you know, people, you know, who come to the center, they have interest to become monks and nuns. But, you know, so far I've never encouraged to anybody to become monks and nuns here because of the last 15 years anyway. So, you know, there are, it's very nice, you know, that, you know, they become ordained. So that we as a Tibetan, we have systems that's been developed last 600 years ago, you know, that's been transformed from Tibet to exile government in India, very good, how you say, re-establishment of monastery. So, you know, there's monastery, you know, there's all the monks, there's in my monastery, there's, you know, 500 monks. So monks go there, live there, pretty much, you know, minute you enter, it takes like 20 to 25 years to finish the education, then basically you are there. You know, so then you eat there, you sleep there, you know, like it's been somehow, it's been well adjusted, been taken care of, you know, so nobody has health insurance there, but somehow everything's worked out somehow in the big, like, this, like, big family. And now there's 5,000 monks. So now, other hand, like during 60s, like this good hippie days, happiest days, they are the ones who brought the Buddha Dharma to West, you know, hippies, and that's the hippies now. So there's some of them, you know, like, that's how this starts. There's some of them become very interested to become, you know, ordained. You know, so some of them still are ordained, you know. So then after that, there's many, many, you know, all kinds of age range. They, you know, become monks and nuns. In the West, you don't have systems like we do in the monastery. You know, we have well-established, you know, or even in India, you know, so that how it's been taken care of, you know, that there's people come there, they sponsor what we call puja, you know, they offer bread, lunch, a little bit of money. So then that's how they don't go to the, there's no mall, there's no shopping mall. There's nothing to spend the money, so there, you know. So that's how, you know, all the life is being taken care of in the monasteries because of the, as a organizations, you know, whole. So then somehow everybody's been fed, been taken care of, you know. Then there's no kind Western people, they sponsor individual monks. So we have been, you know, get a lot of support from Western people, from America, from Europe, you know, from Kadamba Center, like that. So on the other hand, the Western Sangha, they don't have that kind of support systems. And first of all, people don't, I say, it's another person, that the person has a vow to not to kill, not to lie, you know, the vow, that matters. You know, so, anyway, so that's why this FMT organization, they created this International Sangha Day, so to educate people, you know, importance of having a Sangha, not just Tibetan, okay? Also like Chukila, Samula, these are equally valuable as, you know, Tibetan monks and nuns. Same, you know. So that some, like, somehow I think this International Sangha Day, that's very much motivated by, I think, educate people in the FMT Center to understand the importance of having, you know, like American, like the Western monks and nuns in your communities, and how to, you know, to support them, so something like that. So I think that's what it is, you know. So, and we have one, oh, now it's time to, maybe I'll say this maybe one very short. Since I came here, when Tibetan Rinpoche, when they come to the America or go to Europe, so they usually, you know, like I say, yeah, so they have also big responsibility, you know. So technically, I'm not married, right? I'm monk. But, you know, I have group of monks that heavily rely on me. You know, if something, some of them get sick, I'm responsible, even though they are not my relatives. You know, so they are just from Tibet. I don't know their family. They don't know my family. So you just get, you know, so they call you, okay, Gisela, that's your turn. So we go there, they give you one person. So then you are responsible for that person for education, from health and everything like that. So therefore, you know, when the Gishi come to the center, they, you know, like ask the sponsorship for their monks back in the monastery. So that's what it is. Then I did something very unique. Before Chukila, there's another nun now who's already passed away. I asked, you know, people to help her. That's kind of, you know, so that's my way to, you know, how to educate. You know, educate is to let people know, you know, supporting Sangha is, you know, something good. So I'm probably not saying very good way, but anyway, so my point is out there. So maybe, you know, if you have any question about International Sangha Day, so probably you can ask Dr. Watkin or maybe, yeah, Sandy, okay? Yeah, that's all I can say because time has passed. Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you.
thank you for your teaching.
Oh, thank you. Okay. So, we'll just do a short dedication today on the pink sheet in your prayer book. Let's just say the first verse from Master Shantideva, and then we'll do the long life prayers. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. In a land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. Savior of the snowland teachings and transmigratory beings, who extensively clarifies the path that unifies emptiness and compassion. To the lotus in the hand, Lord Tenzin Gyatso, I beseech, may all your holy wishes be fulfilled. The one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Awatari, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama, ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You who uphold the subduer's moral way, who serve as a bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjinas' victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplish magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior of myself and others, your disciples, please, please live long. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.